Welcome to the Best of Women's Fiction podcast. I'm Lainey Cameron, and in this podcast, I interview authors I admire. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love if you subscribed and gave it some stars. My guest this week is Christina Consolino. Her debut novel, Rewrite the Stars, has been called touching, bittersweet, and at times heart-wrenching. It just released this last week, and in the interview, we chat about Christina's inspiration, writing advice, and she has some great recommended reads for you. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Lainey. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations. This is your debut novel that came out last week. Well done.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I appreciate it.
And we're going to talk about the reviews because it's got some lovely reviews. Some of the words I'm seeing describing this novel are touching, bittersweet, delicate, and heart-wrenching. Wow, you're making people cry, apparently.
Apparently, and you know, sometimes that's a good thing. I love books that make me cry. A little bit of emotion never does anybody, you know, any harm.
Yeah, no, one of my favorite books last year, Alison Hammer's debut, was I was in tears the entire way through that book, so...
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk about Rewrite the Stars. And I love that you've actually got a little bit of stars hanging here in your daughter's room on
yes,
the edge.
Right there. Yes.
Tell me more about Rewrite the Stars. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, Rewrite the Stars is the story of Sadie and Theo, who are technically still a couple, but really just on paper. They haven't signed the divorce papers yet. And there's a whole lot of backstory that goes into why they decided to divorce, but most of it hinges on Theo's PTSD and his inability to seek help for it. And actually, he didn't have a desire to ask for help, seek the help, even take the help that Sadie was offering. So, you know, we don't need to go into that because that's not really the whole story, but Sadie and Theo are kind of on the outs, but he lives at the back of the house. And that's mainly because she wants to support him. But one day she goes to the grocery store and she meets a guy that she just can't kind of let go of. She just keeps thinking of this person. And she sees him in and around Kettering, where the book is set, Kettering, Ohio. And then it just kind of spirals from there. She just starts to think, what if this happens or what if that happens? And am I happy with my life? And should Theo and I, you know, finally close the book on this marriage? So, and in and amongst all of that, we see Theo too. He's a point of view character. And he is really grappling not only with the PTSD, but with this loss that he sees in Sadie. He knows something's different. He's not really sure why.
So let's take a quick peek at a review from Anne Garvin, which is a beautiful review that she wrote for your book here. And she described it as a touching, see, that's the word, everybody's saying this book is touching, a touching story about love with all the odds against it. Christina Consolino will tug at your heartstrings with this powerful and satisfying novel filled with love, hard choices, and hope. I read it in one sitting, and I'm sure you will too. And that's Anne Garvin, who actually is also one of my favorite authors. And she'll be on the show in a few weeks. And her own book, I think it's her third book, I'm really excited about it, is coming out in April. So I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Yes, she's a sweetheart. She's quite lovely. And I mean, just to plug Anne, I only knew her via Facebook. And I was very nervous when I said, Anne, can you think about blurbing this book? I think she was the first one I sent it to. And when she sent back right away, like, I'd be happy to blurb. I thought, no, you're kidding. Really? So I was so honored.
Isn't it amazing the difference like an author further on the path can make in an upcoming debut's life just by saying yes to a blurb like that? It makes all the difference. It gives the book credibility. It's fabulous. Yes.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, delighted. And there were several other authors who did the same. And I just thought, and Lainey, thank you for blurbing it.
You are welcome. You are welcome. I'm pretty sure I also described it as touching and bittersweet there somewhere. And I thought what was really interesting about this novel is it's a very introspective novel. Like the main character is dealing through this whole novel about with this question, like you say, of like, do I stay or do I go? And do I do what I feel will make me happy, or do I do what my inner brain is saying maybe is the right thing to do? And what if it's not the right thing to do? And so like, there's a lot of introspection, right? She's trying to work through and grapple through this question of when do you leave a marriage is kind of how I would describe it, is like, when is it time to let go?
Yes, exactly. And I think it's just compounded by the three children. You know, you always want to think, and they're relatively young. They span from, 18 months to 11, and it's like, what do I do? And I think sometimes she's as paralyzed as Theo is with his PTSD, although we don't see it as much, so.
That's a good point. It's a good description. So talk to me about the inspiration. It's set in Ohio. Are you in Ohio? Is it also like a local to you thing?
Well, yes, it is. They say write what you know, and right now I come from Michigan, but I've lived here for 17 years, almost 18 years, and it's a little community. Well, yeah, it's a little community. It's a Dayton suburb, basically. So it's really quite, I won't call it quaint, just a nice place to raise family. And yes, it's set here because I went to the grocery store on Father's Day in 2012, and I talked to a guy behind me in line. And I always tell people I was in a fine space. I was in a good space. I wasn't, belaboring or, being upset with my family or anything like that. But I just had this conversation, and I went, "Oh, well, that would be an interesting story." And so I came home and I started writing it. But it is set in Kettering. We do go, we as if I go with them. But the characters go to Walloon Lake, and that's in Michigan, and that's because I visit Walloon Lake. So, and that's really a magical place. It's quite a lovely place. But
Yeah, you describe it as a magical place in the novel. It made me want to
it
go there. I was like, where is this place I've never been and never heard of?
You should go in your travels. You should go. It's very, very nice.
So, was that all of your inspiration? So, it started with this little seed of you see someone at the grocery store. How did it, tell me how it went from there? How did it become the novel?
You know, part of my writing process is writing in chunks because I only have certain chunks of time. And so I think I do a lot of thinking. Part of my writing process is also just thinking about something. And so I would sit down and kind of go ahead. I always knew that I wanted Andrew and Theo and Sadie to play a part. Andrew is the guy that comes in at the grocery store. But I wasn't exactly sure where I wanted to take it. And so every once in a while, I just kind of listened to what they were saying to me, and I would add a little bit more. And then eventually, this is actually a revised version of the original novel. The original novel did not have the same ending. A couple people actually died in the novel, and I just thought, you know what, I need to make this a hopeful story. And so, not to give away any spoilers, but there, I took some of that out. So,
Nobody dies. None of the main characters die that I remember. Yeah. So
no,
you can write a
I
novel
loved
that'll make you cry, but you're not going to be crying in the last all the characters are dead. So
Right.
it's not a Game of Thrones plot where
No,
nobody's
it's
going to stand the field.
not even close.
So you brought up editing. That's always fascinating to me, especially with debuts where we're learning the art of editing at the same time that we're learning like to write the book. So how did it change? What did those changes end up looking like for you? Was it hard, easy?
Well, one of the biggest changes is I had Theo, he was living with ALS. That was the main thing. And I have a degree in physiology, so and in neuromuscular physiology. So I understood that. And I think that's why I probably went with that first in the first pass. But then it just wasn't working for me. There were many, many revisions. So that's one of the biggest changes. And Theo, as a point of view character, is also really the biggest change. Eventually, he said, "I would like a point of view, Christina. I need a say in this story." And I said, "Yes, yes, you do." So I pulled out his side, and I actually had to rewrite, actually write, again, really start the story from his point of view, to be honest with you, because I hadn't really thought about it from his point of view. So that's one of the other big changes in the story.
Which is interesting because I'm always told it's harder to do multiple points of view. My own had two points of view, but then I've talked recently to so many debuts who have added points of view, or who have like I talked to someone a few weeks ago who had 4 or 5 points of view in their
Wow.
book that was coming out, which I think is really hard. It's actually really hard to keep the momentum going because you're switching back and forth, right? And so with one point of view, I'm writing a one point of view right now. It's easier at the end of the chapter to kind of open a question that needs answered in the next
Right.
chapter. With two
Yes.
points of view, you almost risk like frustrating the reader because you open the
Yes.
question, but then you flip to somebody else, and the reader is like, wait, but you just set up this question and now you're not answering it.
Yes, and I feel like you want to make sure you have a character arc, a full character arc for each character. I would imagine 4 or 5 of those would be, that's too much for me to take on at this point. Maybe, I don't know about that, so.
Yeah, it was a skilled writer. I think it was Sarahlyn Bruck, and she's a very skilled writer, and I was impressed. She did it well, but yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
So what about writing advice when you talk to other people who want to be the debut with their novel coming out here? Like, what do you advise people?
I know this is going to sound really kind of hokey and just so fundamental, but I just say keep going, honestly, because I feel like even now my book is, you know, published, and sometimes I want to quit the marketing, all of that. And if we quit now, what's, you know, what did we do all that work for? So I feel like in the journey, there were so many times like, if I just gave this up, who would care? You know, I would care. Hopefully my readers would care. And you just have to keep plugging away. That's what I said. Just don't give up. Believe in yourself. Because self-doubt can get you.
Oh, yeah. Good advice. Yes. I needed to hear that this week as well myself. So so what about reading? Have you had a chance to read while you're in the middle of doing a book launch here?
Well, you know how it goes. You want to, you know, people review your book and you review their book. And the debut groups are so fantastic with swapping. I have a couple, actually, that I have sitting here. Ladies Formula for Love. It's fantastic. Up for Air.
Ladies Formula for Love. Is it romance?
This is romance, yes. Cool. And I do love women's fiction with elements of romance. I will read anything with a love story in it, honestly. Up for Air is what they call a little racy romance. That's, whoops, Christina Berry.
Christina Berry, cool.
Very thought-provoking.
Or is it like racy romance?
I don't know if you'd call it erotica. To be honest, it spans women's fiction and romance, but it's about opening up a marriage. Everything's consensual, but it was very thought-provoking for me. And then I have a couple that I've gone, I don't have the book to it, or I just have it on my Kindle. She Wouldn't Change a Thing. That's not coming out until August by Sarah. I'm going to get her last name wrong. Adlaka. I'm not sure how she says it, but She Wouldn't Change a Thing. That was a beautiful one. And I have a couple that I've been just reading that, like, this is an older one, but I go back to this book. There's Cake in My Future by Kim. I never get her name right either. Grunenfelder. I go back to that to look at like point of view and things like that. Hmm. So there's, you know, the stack is growing.
Well, before I show folks listening how they can connect with you, anything I haven't asked that you wanted to make sure we covered while we're chatting here?
I think the only thing I usually tell people with respect to this book is just how important it is. Kind of a light book in some respects, but at the same time, it talks about PTSD. And so I usually say that can happen to anyone. And I even say it in the author's note at the end. PTSD is serious, and it's very difficult for people who live with PTSD to ask for help. And so we need to be patient. If we have somebody in our lives, we need to be patient with ourselves if we're suffering with it. And so there are lots of resources out there. And if you can help somebody who is living with it, I say, you know, do what you can and help them find that help.
That's a great message. Awesome message. And so let's take a peek at how people can connect with you on Instagram. You are CM Consolino. And folks can find all your other social medias on your website at ChristinaConsolino.com. And the book's name is Rewrite the Stars. And congratulations, because it's out in the world. I really
Thank
hope
you.
It goes well for you.
I'm very excited. Thank you. And I really, really appreciate it being here. Truly. I appreciate how much you support authors.
Oh, you are so welcome. And it's fun for me. If you'd like to see the video version of this interview and many others, visit bestofwomensfiction.com or follow me, Lainey Cameron, on Instagram, where I share these interviews weekly. You can also subscribe right here to the podcast.